Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the... On this episode, we review IDW's Transformers Shattered Glass number 4 in comics, and we've got some more awesome guest announcements for TFCon Los Angeles and TF Nation later this year. Today is Friday, January 21st, 2022, and this is episode 269 of Transmissions Alt Mode. Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that wonders if the multiverse is real in the MCU, then could the Transformers crossover in a future Spider-Man movie? I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team, Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor Mike.
I'm thinking of like all the other Marvel like properties they can cross over with, like Blade. No,
that's coming.
Transformers Blade.
Those were the Bay movies.
Too true.
I'd like to see Optimus Prime fight vampires.
Vampire Prime.
Vampire break its teeth trying to bite into a Transformer.
What if there's a vampire Megatron?
Daryl's just patiently waiting for his turn, you know.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast.
What I was thinking is that we could actually do the Transformers and the Avengers kind of and get those things back together again.
That went so well last time.
Was a comic.
You can actually give them a plot this time.
Yeah. Let's talk Transformers.
As always, we start the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal. You guys help keep the show going, help the wheels turning, keep the wheels turning. So thank you so much for continuing to support us. And this week we welcome Nick, who was already a Donatrion, and they increased their pledge a significant amount. So thank you, Nick, for bumping it up, and you're in the threshold for getting some merchandise. You got into the merchandise tier, so look forward to that coming in a few months. And brand new Donatrion, Ethan, welcome to the club, and thanks for signing up, see you are taking advantage of the Discord access, so that's very cool, and we hope to see you around the Discord very often in the future. Thanks for signing up. And one of the perks of being a Donatrion, in addition to getting that merchandise we mentioned last week, and being automatically entered into our Toy Hacks $10 gift code every month, we've also got regular uncut episodes of the our first, only, and best Transformers live play RPG podcast, Empire of Rust. We put out bonus early uncut episodes that contain all the stuff that was left on the cutting room floor for the regular episode, and it comes out a week early, so you get to hear the episode in its rawest form ahead of time before everyone else. But please don't spoil it for everyone, for all your fellow listeners of Empire of Rust.
No spoilers.
Use those spoiler tags in the Discord. We had a couple instances a few weeks ago where folks were not so diligent there. So please make sure you're doing that. And this week we've got episode 68, Rogue Star Trench Run. That sounds a little bit Star Warsy. So check it out. This is the early access episode of episode 68, and then episode 60. So that's coming Monday, January 24th. And then regular episode 68 will be out on January 31st, a week later. So, Mike, anything you want to say about this upcoming episode?
We do something that I thought we would never do in Empire of Rust, and that is that.
Okay.
Entertain people.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Got to send Mike to the burn ward now for that sick burn Daryl delivered.
Big talk from someone who's never listened to an episode.
No, it's. I mean, I just go to the Discord channel and get spoiled every week. So
I do ask him to do that for you.
Anyway, everyone out there, check out Empire of Rust. And yeah, if you are a Donatron, you'll get early access to the bonus episodes. If you're not a Donatron, you can sign up and you will get access to the bonus episodes and all the previously released bonus episodes. So check it out.
Hear that, Daryl? You can get access to the bonus episodes, you know, just you just gotta listen to them. That's all.
Oh, this is, that's, I mean, those sound like they might be longer.
Yeah, yeah, they are. It's called extra content.
Oh.
Do you know what that's
all right,
like?
Well, I mean, I do. I don't produce any myself anymore. It seems weird that we talk about it. I don't do it, but it's, you know, it's weird. We should do more of that. I want to, but nobody else wants to do it with me. I can't do it by myself. I'm not that kind of guy. But I'd really like to, you know, do it. But I can't seem to get it or my head around listening to more of something I haven't listened to anything of. But I'm glad that you do it. There seems to be people out there that like it.
Daryl, I think I have a solution. You just need to paint your house, and then you have plenty of time where you need to listen to something.
I think that's might be a good suggestion, yeah.
Okay, well, we're going off on this tangent because we don't have a whole lot of news in this episode, so we're going to jump right in to our comic review.
All right, we are looking at Shatterglass number 4 this week. It's written by Danny Lohr, art by Dan Kana, inks by Priscilla Tramontano, colors by John Paul Bove, letters by Neil Yukitake, editor Riley Farmer, supervising editor David Mariette, designed by Jake Wood and Joanna Natalie. So there are three covers. Well, actually, there are four covers this time. Cover A is an homage to Marvel number 67, which was a Jim Lee Transformers cover. This one is by Alex Milne, and it shows Goldbug triumphant over Cybertron with a ton of Kirby crackle in the background. So it's cool. Cover B shows Goldbug taking out Skywarp. This is by Beth McGuire Smith. Retailer Incentive, which is it's just a Goldbug done in a painted style by Sarah Petra Durocher. And then the Hasbro Pulse exclusive cover shows Goldbug shattering some glass. This is by Casey Collar and Joanna LaFuente. Mike, let's start with you. You have four covers. Which one of these would you pick?
That's a good question. I think it's down to cover A or the Pulse cover. Both of them, I think, are pretty solid. But you know what? I think I'm going to have to go with cover A on this one, just because I don't get the emotion on Goldbug with cover with the retailer exclusive, but I do with cover A. Like, you really get to, like, you even though he has just like a visor and a mask, you still get the kind of anger, the kind of intensity with it. So even though I'm not the biggest fan of just the overall form and composition of it, I think I'm gonna have to go with cover A just for the intensity of Goldbug meanness.
All right, well, Charles, how about you?
I am also going to pick cover A, and of course, I'm an old school Marvel Transformers fan, so this cover is a nice homage for me. It ticks all the boxes here. It's Alex Milne art. I'm a big fan of Alex Milne's art style. This is a callback to the classic Marvel Transformers number 67. And that was done by Jim Lee, which I was not aware of that for a while. I mean, I think, but the, you know, Jim Lee probably has not done a lot of Transformers art in his long and storied career. And this was, this was a special one, and a really cool one, with Galvatron above, being triumphant there. So replacing that with Goldbug in the same pose here and making it look really cool. Looks great. And as you mentioned, Jeremy, the Kirby crackle is there, so that adds to the classic feel of nostalgia here. So yeah, this cover really rings my bell.
Cover one, buddies. Awesome.
Right, and Daryl, as if we even have to guess.
This is a pretty easy one for me. Yeah. Now, although the original Jim Lee cover that Charles just mentioned is not one of my favorites from the original Marvel run. this cover by Alex, this cover A homage, is just phenomenal. It's such a great interpretation with Goldbug standing on Cybertron. The detail that Alex put into Cybertron is incredible. It's, you know, if you are able to see the original Jim Lee cover side by side with Alex's, you can see that Alex put so much more detail into his version of this cover than the original that Jim Lee did. And I'm not trying to put Jim Lee down at all. Like, Jim Lee's a legend, but you know, Alex is quite known for doing incredible amounts of detail work. And he takes it up a notch when it comes to, like, you know, this kind of stuff. And this is just an incredible piece of artwork from Alex. And it's really, really, really great. So yeah, cover A for me, another Alex cover. It really is almost to the point where you really don't even need to ask me anymore.
Yeah, I won't.
Cover A, buddies.
Yeah, and I'll make it unanimous. It's such a great image. I did put here in the Discord our link to the original cover. And it's amazing, like, just the similarities there with the composition, but just the, you know, the differences as well, and the detail in here. Like, Cybertron just is so detailed in this image. And, you know, you can also just see the difference in comic art styles in general over the, you know, 35, 40 years, however long, I'm not doing the math, but since the original comic was put out. So, yeah, this is such a great image.
Can I say a cover A quartet? Eh?
Yeah.
Swing and a miss, Mike.
All right, let's get into the summary here. Goldbug is recounting his history from being Prime's second in command and his near death at the hands of Megatron on Earth. Later, he's rebuilt from a protoform that Prowl and Ratchet thought to bring along for spare parts. And then Bumblebee, now Goldbug, it expects to get more respect. However, he just feels the disgusted thoughts from everyone that he was so close to Megatron and he didn't even get a shot in. In the present, Goldbug is overseeing Jetfire's attempt to get the Titan key out of Starscream's spark. Jetfire is trying to explain how hard it is to do this without killing Starscream when an alert goes off. Goldbug leaves to find the source, which is Skywarp, who is just teleported in. But the Seeker is no match for Goldbug, who quickly kills him and takes his head. In the past, Goldbug is trying to let Optimus Prime know that Prowl is planning something. Prime has been suspicious of Prowl for a while, but he doesn't think that that Prowl can do anything to hurt him. Goldbug is upset and accidentally insults Prime while he's trying to get his point across, and he earns a beating for the mistake before Prime walks off. As Goldbug is recovering, Prowl emerges from a nearby alley, gloating that he knew Prime wouldn't listen. Now, however, it seems like Goldbug is ready to listen himself. In the present, Jetfire is trying to get Starscream to willingly give up the information. Slicer, the formerly named Wheeljack, doesn't think that Starscream will willingly give up information that is so important to his ideals. Plus, he knows that Goldbug will kill him either way. Speaking of, Goldbug arrives again, and he tosses Skywarp's head onto the floor in front of Starscream. Starscream looks on in horror as Goldbug gloats and then demands that Slicer go and kill anyone outside that might be sympathetic to the Decepticons to send a message. Then he orders Jetfire to hurry up and get the information. Jetfire again says that it's going to take time, and Goldbug interprets this as disobeying. Jetfire says that he's not disobeying, but this isn't just a quick thing. Goldbug then tells Jetfire that if he can't get the Titan key, then they'll just kill Starscream and use his body to lure the rest of the Decepticons. Starscream starts laughing, and he calls Goldbug a joke, triggering him to start the torture again. Jetfire stops him, and then Slicer alerts both of them of more intruders. These intruders are the Insecticons who come through a vent above Tap Out and Frameway. They make short work of the Autobots until running into Goldbug, who quickly eliminates the whole team. Then he returns to the chamber, and with his blaster pointed at Starscream's head, he says he'll get what he wants one way or another. And that is the end of the issue. This was a fairly quick read, but I really liked it. Not really having a lot of experience with Goldbug outside of the Rebirth episodes of the original series, I liked seeing this take on him where he's essentially paranoid. I mean, I'm guessing paranoid might not be the right term, but he's definitely insane in that he wants to, or he thinks everyone's out to get him, and he won't listen to anyone that's trying to talk reason to him. And it's such a 180 from, you know, the Bumblebee character. And I like it. I haven't read issue 5 yet, which I know has been out for a while, but I like how this is going. Just the depths in the issue with Skywarp and the Insecticons. They're kind of red shirts, but still it's kind of shocking anytime you see depths like that. I thought the art was really good. The coloring was great. And it's weird seeing like the different colors. Like you see Wheeljack, who is renamed Slicer now. And just the colors, you're like, what was going on? But you know, it's the reverse world in Shatterglass. So anyway, it this was fun and enjoyable. So I'm looking forward to reading the last issue now. Daryl, let's start with you. What were your thoughts on the book?
Couple things. One, I like the art. I thought the art was really great. Dan Kaunham did a really great job on the book, and I think it worked really well. Going through previous books, and one of the big complaints was that they'd all the previous books had been really wordy. They'd been, you know, I think Danny Laura had been trying to kind of push a lot of story in not enough pages. So there was a lot of info dump happening in the previous pages. So this fourth issue really got to have some action in it. And like you said, it was a very quick read, which needed to happen. You needed to have an action book, and that's mm-hmm. kind of what I was looking forward to having. Now this is where Shattered Glass and, the regular continuity kind of confuse me, because Goldbug's previous incarnation, you talk about it being Bumblebee, and that's the regular continuity. But here he's painted up as Bug Bite, which would be this paint job in the current continuity. But in the Shattered Glass continuity, is Bug Bite Bumblebee? That's so. That when I saw this paint scheme, I thought, okay, is he Bug Bite? But then again, he's in the Shattered Glass continuity, so he's never actually named Bumblebee in here. He's referred to as Bumblebee by Prime, but you know,
And Starscream, when he's laughing at him, let me get to that page here. He calls him Bugsy, so that I guess.
Right.
I don't know. TF Wiki refers to him as Bumblebee / Goldbug.
Right. Okay.
It says he was once a shiftless drifter named Bumblebee. So.
Okay. So, yeah. So that was a little confusing to me. Just because when a Shattered Glass paint scheme matches a regular continuity paint scheme, that's confusing. Especially when it's the same mold, like it's the same character, you know, looking character. So that was a little bit of a mess for me.
It'd be like if they introduced a new Seeker that was white, you know, and like matched the Starscream here, and they called it something else.
With regards to the rest of the story, the part what I have found has to be essentially the weakest part of this is likely the a bit of an Achilles heel to most Shattered Glass stories, is all that seems to have been done is you have switched the good guys to the bad guys and the bad guys to the good guys, changed some colors, and that's it. You're still using the same characters, and nothing else has really changed, which to me is there's no real difference. You're just changing. You're still writing the same kind of stories. You've just changed who the good guys and the bad guys are, right? So for me reading this, it doesn't seem like a big change or a real big different story. It seems like a regular Transformers story, just now the bad guys are now the refer to the good guys, and the good guys are the bad guys. It's not, you know, it's not like it's overly inventive for me. And that's, mm-hmm. that's a problem in, for me, when it comes to stuff like Shattered Glass. And I talked about this when we were going to start this journey for Shattered Glass, is that I would much rather see a Shattered Glass book. Maybe it doesn't even need to be Shattered Glass, but a story told from the Decepticons' point of view, where they are portrayed as the heroes. Whereas even you took a story we've already heard or know fairly well. Let's, for example, say the More Than Meets the Eye pilot episode, the three-parter. Everybody's seen it a million times. It's the first episode of G1. It's broken up into three parts. And, you know, the attack of the oil refinery or whatever you want to call it, the, you know, the oil bridge or the, what do you call those things in the ocean? Whatever. Where they meet
derrick.
Spike and Sparkplug. Yeah, sure. So, where they attack that thing. But now the Megatron and the Decepticons, they're the ones who you're supposed to side with. They're the ones going there, and the story that you're being told is from their point of view, and the sympathies that are being told are from their side. And the Autobots coming in to, you know, to stop them are now being told as the bad guys. The story we've seen 100 times, but now it's flipped on its lid because of, you know, the writing of the show. And that would be a story that I'd really like to see. Right? Something told from a different point of view.
Where they're not just like mustache twirling bad guys. They're thinking they're the heroes of their story.
Right.
And you're telling that story.
Exactly. Everyone's the hero of their own story. Right? So tell us that story from their point of view. I'd love to read those stories. Those would be really interesting to me. Especially tell me the same damn stories I've read or I've watched in different shows. Tell me those again, but tell me the flip side of them, right? Where I've now been able to experience, you know, both sides of it. Some of my favorite TV show episodes are ones where they take every character in the show and tell the same story from everybody's point of view. And the show, you know, they may only need to show like 5 or 6 minutes of each individual character, but those shows, you see every iteration of those events that lead up to the climax of the episode. Those are very interesting to me, and I love it when they do stuff like that.
I like that too, where you're seeing how they're perceiving the same event.
Exactly. And everything just kind of fits right at the end. And, you know, nothing, you don't have to do that for every, you know, every single issue of a series like this, but, you know, just flip it a bit. You don't have to make everybody's point of view, you know, known, but just kind of make the intentions known. But as far as this story goes, it's just a normal Transformer story. There's nothing special about it. It's a normal Transformer story. It's fine. There's nothing overly great. There's nothing overly terrible about it. It's a normal Transformer story, but the good guys are now the bad guys. The bad guys are now the good guys, and they've changed some colors.
Yeah.
I don't find it bad. I don't find it good. The art's very good. I like it. You know, and I like the fact that they're killing characters. Kill some characters. It's a 5-issue miniseries. Kill them all. You know, kill all the characters. You know, we may not come back to this universe, you know, anytime soon. But as far as the series goes, it's fine. But if this is what Shattered Glass is, if this is, because I don't have a lot of experience with it. I've never read the Fun Pub comics and stuff like that. So if this is what Shattered Glass is, I'm kind of happy I never really got into it, because it's not really special.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like outside of the main three or four characters, it does devolve into just, you know, good guy, bad guy tropes.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. All right. Mike, what were your thoughts on the book?
I'm not going to come down on this as hard as Daryl has, but the issue was a little bit confusing for me. Like, we're introduced to Goldbug's like insanity like, really early on, and there doesn't seem to be a real justification for it. He if there is some deeper part of the story where he is just like, this is why he is the way he is, I'm not really seeing it. And I saw like some like the, I guess they were like flashbacks or something like that, where he's fighting the Insecticons, but he's also fighting Optimus, which I'm assuming is like, I must have missed the transition into like a flashback on that part of the panel.
Every panel with a rounded corner is a
okay. So, but
that's just been how IDW's done.
Okay, I mean, I got the idea that it was supposed to be a flashback, but like the transition was kind of abrupt and sudden, and it being on the same page as the current fight, I see like what they were doing. I see like the juxtaposition that they were trying to do with the flashback versus the new fight, and how they're this they're being equated to the same thing. I get it. But at the same time, it's an incredibly jarring transition to have that on one side of the page and then the modern or the current event on the other. I just don't think it works as effectively, because you can kind of do that in a movie or in a television show a little bit more effectively. Maybe you could, like, I don't know, like, change the overall, like, lighting effects or something like that. You know, do something obvious, like, put, like, a sepia tone or, you know, do it black and white or, you know, make it very obvious that, hey, flashback, new stuff, flashback, new stuff. But I don't think it was as effective as a storytelling medium than I think it was intended to be. So that, for me, was jarring and a difficult part of the read. And if that section was meant to be the justification for Goldbug's insanity, then that might just be on me. Like I didn't follow it along correctly, and I didn't interpret it the way that it was intended to be interpreted. If not, then there's something else going on with the story, and I'm not getting Goldbug's insanity. I'm not getting the reason why he's kind of doing things. Presumably, he wants the Titan. He wants what Optimus wants. He wants control of that Titan, and if there's a way of doing it, then they're willing to do whatever they need to do with it. But still, at the same time, Goldbug is willing to kill Starscream because he feels slighted. And again, that is not the act of a rational person. Again, I get it. If he's supposed to just be insane, okay, fine, he's insane. But he's also really, really high up in the Autobot hierarchy, so I would imagine he's a bit more calculating. Like, in Shattered Glass, Prime is mean as all hell, but he's also not mindlessly insane. You know, he's cold, he's calculating, he's like, okay, I know what I want, I know how to get it, I'm not opposed to murdering or torturing someone to get it, but I'm also not insane. And it feels like Goldbug is, and I'm not seeing that transition. I'm not seeing the reason why he's like that. And because of that, all of his justifications for his actions fall into question. Why is he willing to kill Starscream if he has something that he wants? You know, what? That's kind of an important point to the stuff that he's working on right now. So that part just doesn't make sense to me, and a lot of his motivations and actions just don't make sense. Now, granted, I can't relate to an insane person, because presumably I'm not insane, but I...
Sounds like something an insane person would say.
I know, right? Well, you know, we all have biases, we all have blind spots, you know? But, like, I can't get there from here, and I can't understand his motivations. I can't relate to them. Whereas a well-written villain, you may not agree with their actions, but you can understand why they're doing what they're doing. And I'm not seeing that with Goldbug.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. Like, I can see your point there.
The artwork was good. I have no problem with any of the artwork. I would have liked to see a little bit more detail in the backgrounds, maybe, but, you know, that's a nitpick. It did focus on the character. It did keep the focus on Goldbug as much as possible. I would have liked to see maybe a little bit more of that kind of emotion on Goldbug's face. I know it's difficult to do with a visor and a faceplate, but, you know, do what they did in in More Than Meets the Eye, you know, like even with like Whirl, you know, you did manage to understand what he was feeling through his facial expression. So, you know, do the same thing. So, but yeah, so small nitpicks on the art, but otherwise no big issues on that. Again, the big issue was just Goldbug's motivation and the reason why he was acting the way he was. I was kind of sad to see, like, the Insecticons die. Like, just, like, in this entire miniseries, Autobots have been dying so quickly, just, like, cannon fodder. Yeah. I did read a couple of the FunPub issues where Megatron was, like, the hero and Prime was just the villain. It was a little bit more black and white in that case, where Megatron really was just like the hero and Prime really did take on the role of classic Megatron, and you know, he lost because he's the villain and he was supposed to lose. But in this miniseries, it's a little dark and a little depressing considering the Autobots are like a beaten back force, and every time you see an Autobot come on panel, you know that he's either going to get tortured or killed. So, yeah, that's everything.
All right. Charles, let's wrap it up with you.
Yeah, this was kind of a distinctly meh issue for me. Shattered Glass has not been the most exciting series for me. I did like, I guess, getting into the head of Goldbug and how, like, you know, we had Bumblebee and Goldbug in the regular universe. He, you know, especially in the comics, he had a bit of a, you know, confidence and self-esteem issues, and here we see that kind of the flip side of that, where it's the same thing and now amped in the negative side. So he still has the confidence and self-esteem issues, and that turns into a complex and inferiority complex for this evil Goldbug here. And
I think that's kind of what I was trying to think of, not really paranoid, more just inferiority
complex. Yeah. And so I mean, that was interesting, you know, just getting a study into that character. But then kind of the rest of the comic kind of just fell flat for me. I mean, it's just Goldbug running around killing a bunch of people while he doesn't let Jetfire finish the one sentence that would say, hey, I can't get you what you want because it's tied to Starscream, and if you kill him, you won't get it. And he never lets him get to that complete that sentence. So Bumblebee just, or Goldbug just keeps thinking, oh, he's too slow, I'll just kill him. So the art was great. I mean, this was Dan Kana again. Dan Kana is a longtime Transformers fan, so it's great to see him getting a lot of artwork now with Transformers, doing covers and doing interiors. And yeah, this was really nice. Well done. John Paul, our friend John Paul Bove, doing the colors. Very cool. And yeah, art is great. I'm just not a big fan of the Shattered Glass story.
All right. Well, that is it for the comic review this week.
Okay, and we'll end the show with convention news.
Well, I'm going to do convention news this week. Because Jeremy's just been talking for an hour and he needs a drink. So I'm going to let him have a drink. Yes. So first up in convention news, we've got attending TF Nation 2022, Nicole DeBook. I think that's how I pronounced your last name. I'm sorry if I messed it up. Nicole DeBook is a writer. Wrote for Transformers Prime, Transformers Rescue Bots, Transformers Robots in Disguise 2015, and Transformers Rescue Bots Academy. Lots of credits to her name there. And hopefully people that are attending that show will be able to have a good time meeting her. And
did you see that she's also working on that new Nickelodeon Transformers series?
I didn't see that. No, I didn't see that. So that is pretty cool. Hopefully we'll have some information about that. Oh, very cool. Yes, very, very cool. Also, Spectacular Spider-Man, Kim Possible, My Little Pony, and Young Justice. Very cool. This is a high-caliber writer here. Well done, mm-hmm. TF Nation. Also, for a couple, for TFCon Los Angeles, artist Casey Collar is going to be in attendance for TFCon Los Angeles. I think he posted something this past week that he's going to be looking to getting a commission list together. So if you're looking to get something done by Casey, keep a lookout for something on his Twitter, because his commission list fills up pretty quick. So yeah, keep an eye out on that, and yeah, hopefully you can get something done by Casey. He's pretty awesome. And lastly, voice actor Jeff Bennett is going to be in attendance at TFCon Los Angeles. And Jeff Bennett is known for doing a number of voices in Transformers Animated, including Captain Fanzone, Mixmaster, Prowl, Soundwave, and Ultra Magnus. Some really popular characters in that show. So that'll be fun to get to hear from Mr. Bennett and hear about his experience on that show. And yeah, he also worked. He was awarded an Emmy Award for his work on Transformers Rescue Bots. That's awesome. Well done. Who did he play on Rescue Bots? I don't know. Doesn't say. I was just gonna say he's also well known for voicing Johnny Bravo. So.
Oh, mama.
There you go.
He's a very prolific voice actor. He's been on, like, if you go watch any cartoon in the 90s, he's probably got a voice on there. And in addition to Johnny Bravo, he's the dad on Dexter's Laboratory. He was on Gargoyles, several voices on Gargoyles, too. And, yeah, very distinctive voice. If you hear his voice, you'll know him immediately.
Well, I remember Ultra Magnus's voice from Animated, so that's probably... Probably his voice, right? So,
yeah, Prowl on Transformers Animated had a distinct. I think that's the voice he uses in a lot of shows.
Yeah. So. Well, that's fun. That's good. So for people in attendance at that convention, that'll be really exciting for you. Right on. Well, that's it. That's it for convention news.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. This was a short one this week. Before we go, though, we want to thank Mike for joining us this week again. And Mike, why don't you tell everyone how everyone can find your awesome stuff, including Empire of Rust, that awesome Transformers live play RPG podcast. Just sit down, Charles.
I'll take it from here. Yes, please follow Empire of Rust, the one and only Transformers RPG podcast hosted right here on the Transmissions Network. We just started season 2 a couple episodes ago, so there's still plenty of time for someone to catch up. Not naming any names, Daryl. Otherwise, can go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter at Minervion. That's Minervion, Minervion at Twitter. That's it.
All right. And as we end the show, we'll give a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrons. These are the folks who contribute at the highest level on our Patreon. So we give them a shout out in every episode. So thank you so much again to John Forex Levengood, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Curtis Akon. And if you'd like to, another way to help us out would be to buy some merchandise from our T Public store, and you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop. That is a direct link to our T Public store, and anything you buy from that store will help us out, and anything you buy from T Public through that link will help us out. So that's it. Thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye bye.
Bye.
Bye all.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool Transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our Transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.